And but we're going to turn initially to the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15. We'll read there. And it's so good to be with Sister Cowan as well. And we're so at ease, comfortable with them. We can poke and pick and make fun and all good sport. We've traveled the world, literally, and with Brother Micah and Sister Sarah. And we've been to Europe together, road trips. We've been to Alaska together. And been my wife and Sister Sarah, they went to Ireland one time. And she's been to Germany with my wife, myself, and before she was even married, and went and roomed with my mother. We went on a trip, and so they have been friends for a long, long time. In fact, Sister Sarah grew up in the church that my father-in-law pastors, and Brother Riley, I'm sure most of y'all know that, and where we are now, and the last time we were here, we were pastoring in Western Mississippi in June of this year, and Brother Riley had been asking us to come for some time. The timing wasn't exactly right, but at the beginning of this year, it began to just fall into place, and then we moved full-time to Aransas Pass, and where I'm the assistant pastor, associate pastor there, and under Brother Riley, and things are going great. It's good to be in Texas. Kansas is good, too, all right? You be proud of Kansas, and let me be Holy Ghost proud and to be a Texan. I got my Texas driver's license in July, and I sent I grew up in the Pacific Northwest, and I've got friends still up there. I sent them a picture of my Texas driver's license, and I said, it's official, and I'm a Texan, and I'm glad God blessed me with that opportunity, but also to be here today. Hallelujah. What a great church, those that are working in music and all the different areas of the church, supporting your pastor, Sunday school. And I want to compliment those that did Sunday school this morning. And is it Brother Brown? Is that Brother and Sister Brown? So my oldest daughter, Autumn, I said, did you like Sunday school? She said, it was awesome. And she said, that guy was so fun. They did a little play. And I think Leo was King Ahaz, I think, and they had a little playback. They did. They had such a good time. They learned, and so thank you. And to you that are investing in these children, you're investing in my children, and I thank you for that. And it is not a small thing, and you that, and I know it's not just them, you that work in Sunday school, children's ministry, and you are instilling at a young age some very, very important things in these children. And I thank you as a father. I thank you for that labor of love. And the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15. And Brother Marcus, I didn't mention you, and I won't. So I'm just glad to be with him today. And Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. I'm going to preach a little bit at first about marriage, but about companionship beyond even marriage. And from verse 18, it is not good that the man should be alone. And if you'll allow me, and if you'll pray with me today, I want to preach, it isn't good to be alone. It isn't good to be alone. Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight, that on this Sunday night, Lord, your hand would be on this service, your anointing. Lord, there are things you want to say to an individual that is under the sound of my voice right now. It isn't good to be alone. It isn't good to be alone. Would you reach for these? Would you help these? Would you bind this church together? Would you bind this body together? Would you unite them under their pastor? Would you unite them in the Holy Ghost, Lord? Would you let those cords of love encompass this church, this family, this body? In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated here tonight. It isn't good to be alone. And it was at man's very beginning that God expressed. Some of these single young men, they're saying, preach it. Yeah, amen. I tell you what, you talk about church growth. You got a whole front pew. And y'all need to go get some wives and fill up this church house. Have some kids. And don't you be going and moving over. You see some pretty girl, so I'm going to go move and go to her. No, you bring her here. Hallelujah. Well, it's good anyway. But it was at man's very beginning that God expressed this observation. This is an observation that God is vocalizing. And for our, I believe, you know, of course, there's internal contemplation within the mind of God. And that we are privy to throughout the book of Genesis. And where he says, let us make man in our image. This was not a plural of multiplicity. But this was a plural of internal contemplation and with his will. And then in the very next verse, and so made he man in his own image. And just like that, that little glimpse into the mind of God, the contemplation of God, we get here as well. We are made privy to this observation. And where God says, it is not good that the man should be alone. And now how many wives know that men left alone get into trouble? And they buy things and they... You know, and they waste time. And initially we see where the animals are brought before Adam. And in Genesis 2:20 it says, and Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And so God brings all of the animals before Adam, and Adam is alone there. And yeah, he names them. And there's you know, we all like having dogs and cats and horses, and there is that companionship of an animal. And we read Louis L'Amour's. I've got two Louis L'Amour's in my car. I brought with me, and just in case I get to a few spare moments, I can read. And I know all about Chick Beaudry's relationship with that hammerhead roan. Right? I know the how a cowboy would love that animal and talk to his horse. And I like animals as much as the next guy. But that was not a helpmeet. That was not a helpmeet for Adam. There was no sufficient companion there among the animals. And so God causes a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And we read where God takes a rib from his side. Verse number 22, it says, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, this is Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, made he woman and brought her unto the man. And from that rib, the DNA, the blueprint of humanity, God makes woman. And to be the helpmeet, to be the companion of man. And a man needs companionship. Amen. It is in our created disposition. And we find here marriage, of course, this institution that God made. It's not man-made. It's not cultural. It's not just something that, you know, that culture has come up with, a construct that's a popular term in politics and sociology today. You know, that gender is a construct, that marriage is a construct. Well, if it is, it was constructed by God.
right? God established this. God constructed this companionship between man and a woman. And in fact, marriage, it's the oldest institution, and it is the only vestige of Eden that survived the fall. And the only institution that survived even the fall of man is marriage. And this companionship, that's how important companionship is to mankind. And then once again, God's observation, and we know that marriage, it was designed by God, and first and foremost, it was about companionship. He said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I put emphasis on that word be, and because the original Hebrew, and you can double check this if you want, I'm right, and that original word was haya, and it means to exist. It doesn't just mean for a temporary, you know, time of getting away, getting alone. I'll talk about that in a moment, but it means to exist. In fact, that word haya or hava, sometimes it's pronounced, it's the same word that God used to describe himself in Exodus chapter 3, verse number 14, when God said, I am that I am. In other words, it means to exist. I'm the great I am, the existent one. And so when God says it is not good that the man should be alone, he's saying it's not good that the man should exist alone. How many know we need each other? I don't care how much of a loner that you think you are, that you claim to be, we need people. We need each other. It is not good that man exists alone. And from the very beginning, it was not God's intention. It was not how we were created, but we were created to have companionship. And let me preach a little bit tonight about the brotherhood and about friendship and about companionship. I know that there are the odd exceptions to the rule, and there are the self-isolating hermits, and the Lord help Sister Clark, if I let her, and she would move to the Alaskan wilderness and go get a little cabin somewhere, and I, you know, I can understand that, and but truly, I'm not trying to throw anything on her, and some of us, we just like to kind of get away for a little while, but even she loves people, and she would be all right for a few months, and she'd start missing her mama, and she'd start missing her friends, and she'd come on back to civilization. And because we've read these stories of these that go away for 20 years, from 30 years, they disappear from civilization. And I would argue that that's not a healthy individual. And oftentimes that which would cause one to self excommunicate themselves from society and from their family, there's probably a trauma in their past. There's probably some sort of cataclysmic event that caused them to think that way. Because it's not good, Pastor. It's not good to be alone. It's not good to dwell and to exist permanently in this place of separation. Because as social creatures, we were created to be such. Now, hear me. That does not mean that there is not value in getting alone. It's all right to get alone. In fact, we are instructed by God in His Word to get alone. We know that Jacob, he wrestled with the angel when he got alone with God. He got alone. Now, then you already see where I'm going, right? He got alone with God. Anytime we find where we're instructed to go get alone and to get to that secret place and go into the closet of prayer, it's just that. We're getting alone with God. We're not just getting alone with our own thoughts and with our own mind and our own internal contemplations and fears and anxieties. The only time we find where we get alone is when we isolate ourselves with our Heavenly Father and we get alone with God. We see where the prophets, they often received vision and revelation and instruction while alone, often in a wilderness. And that they would go and receive instruction from God. Even Jesus, we see where after his baptism and the Spirit drives him into the wilderness for 40 days alone. And that wasn't the only time, but throughout the ministry of Jesus, there are periods we find in the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 23. This is after the feeding of the 5,000. It says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." Even Jesus Christ, for a time, he separated himself from the noise of his disciples and all of that. And he got alone. But look what he got alone to do. To pray. He got alone with God. I would say it's important to do this. Sometimes we need to kind of take a step back and get alone with God and step away from our job. And I'm not saying quit and go on sabbatical for 2 months in the Himalayas. I'm just talking about turning your cell phone off and turning your Xbox off and turning all of the noise off and going and finding a quiet place with God and say, "Lord, I want to spend some time with you. Hallelujah. I need some contemplation time and meditation time with you." But even that, now in Matthew 6:6 is where we read about the prayer closet. Jesus said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly." And we often find vision and strength when we get alone with God. It's important to get alone with God. But this aloneness, it's temporary. We find in every instance Jesus returned to the company of his disciples. We find where that prophet, in fact, there was one prophet, he said, "I'm not going back." He said, "I'm going to go make an end in the wilderness. I'm done talking to these people. They're not hearing. They're not listening." But he said, "His word was in me like a fire shut up in my bones." Right? He said, I could not keep quiet. It drove me back to those people. And friend, every time we find where these got alone with God, even Jacob, when he wrestled with the angel, he went back to his wives and back to his children in the morning. They got alone, but they returned to that company. Why? Because it isn't good to be alone. It's not good to exist permanently alone. Because when you exist alone, we as these created and social individuals, it will cause one to be lonely. We know that word, lonely. Let me preach about loneliness a little bit. I believe that in our generation, as connected as we are, there are people that have 5,000 friends on Facebook and they're lonely. We are so connected. We are so surrounded by people, but they are lonely. That there's that feeling of loss, that feeling of incompleteness, that feeling of emptiness. And in many ways, the church is also designed to fill that need for companionship. Now, it's not the same type of companionship as a marriage, as a union and matrimony, but it is a brotherhood. And when I say brotherhood, I know that sounds gender specific, but there is also a sisterhood. And there is that camaraderie that is in a healthy church. There is that uniqueness of a body that is clinging to one another that might not be of earthly kinship, but we surely are blood kin, right? We've got the blood of that royal blood, that blood of Calvary that unites us all. Hallelujah. And when there's a healthy church that acts as one organism, as one family, and there's brotherhood there, there's sisterhood there. Do you know that sometimes when we're alone, we lack accountability? You get off by yourself and you'll do all sorts of stuff that you wouldn't be comfortable doing in front of your brother. You wouldn't feel comfortable doing in front of your pastor. Oh, but when I'm with my brothers, when I'm with brothers that encourage me to be better and to do better, that hold me to a higher standard. Young men, let me preach it. You hear it just a little bit. That's why it is important who you hang out with. It is important the company that you keep, because there is some company that will drag you away from God. Oh, but there's others I want to surround myself with. I want to hang out with young men, young ladies. You want to hang out with young ladies that will inspire you to be better and to do better and to live for God. Come on, I said that will help you. This is what the word said. Proverbs 27 and 17, he said, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. I'm with friends that have like precious faith. We start talking about God and the things of God, and we encourage one another and we help one another, and our labor is more fulfilling and our labor is more effectual. One's work is vain and empty, the Bible says, if he's alone. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Verse number 8, he said, there is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail. It is that you say, what is a sore travail? He's alone. He's alone. That's what the sore travail is. It's not good to exist alone. I know I'm being repetitive here today, but church, you got to hear me. It's not healthy for you to exist alone. It's not healthy for you to come to the house of God, and the only contact that you have with your brothers and your sisters and your pastor is on Sunday morning and Sunday night and maybe midweek if we're lucky to be graced with your presence. That's not healthy. But if you say, I'm going to bind with my brothers, I'm going to unite with this family of God, oh Lord, then my labor, it will be effectual. Then my labor, there'll be a joy in the brotherhood. In the brotherhood. Ecclesiastes 4 and 9, the next verse, he said, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. Woe to him that's alone. Why? He's alone. There's none to help him. He hath not another to help him up. Hallelujah. Oh, but if I've got some brothers, I've got a good friend of mine in Moss Bluff, Louisiana. And some of y'all probably know him, Brother Carlton Van Winkle. And he's quite a bit older than me. He's in his mid-50s. But every time we're together, we click. And we've got a lot of the same interests. I mean, he's a kind of a strange cat. He's got so many irons and so many fires and different hobbies and interesting things that he does. He's a beekeeper. You know, he keeps bees. He's most recently, he got into making bows. Not like bows like Minnie Mouse, but like bow and arrows. And he'd always been into bow hunting and archery. But he got this interest in primitive bow hunting. I mean, he's made some phenomenal, incredible bows. And he'll send me video clips sometimes of him hunting. And he's killed deer. He's killed wild boar. And even fish. He's got some bows. And he's made them all. Made the arrows. Made the arrowheads. And all this. And it's so neat. And in fact, he made me one. Made me a bow. Made Leo a bow. And we both got these handmade Van Winkle bows. He goes to Brother Harris Church in Moss Bluff, when he was first telling me about this process and how he makes them and how he gets the wood, and I asked him about arrows. You know, I mean, I grew up making bows. I think like most boys did, we'd find a stick And we'd get a piece of string, try to make a bow. Usually wouldn't work. It'd break. You pull it back. You know, your little stick arrow might go 4 feet, go down. But, I mean, his are incredible. He even makes the bow strings and out of sinew, completely primitive. But I asked him about his arrows. I said, they're so straight. And, I mean, he gave me, I said, how do you get these perfectly straight arrows? And he said, well, he usually, you know, makes them out of river cane. Some of the fishing ones, but also hardwood. All the ones that I've got are made out of hardwood. And it makes them out of oak, makes them out of hickory. And now we've got, you know, live oak all over South Texas. And they're all this way. And ain't no way you can get a straight arrow, in my mind, out of a live oak branch. But he's got a ring lathe, I think is what he calls it. And he pulls these sticks through that. And of course he finds the straightest, the best. He knows the grain and everything needs to be just right. But he pulls them through that. It strips all the outer material away and leaves a dowel. That's all common in diameter. And he gets a number of these. I said, well, do you, you know, put them to steam? I've heard of people bending wood like that, you know, getting steam and then trying to straighten them out. He said, oh, no, Brother Clark. He said, it's easy. And he said, all I do is I take about seven of these. He gets these dowels. And none of them are straight, right? They're all kind of crooked in different places. And I said, well, why seven? He said, well, it's a pretty good number. You know, if you only have three or four, it's not enough. And they're not enough to straighten each other out. And if you get a big old bundle and you can't get it tight enough and there's some in there that are kind of squeezed at angles between the others, he said, but seven is a good number. And you get a bundle about that big and you tighten, you bind those dowels together. And then you just put it by heat. He said, the Indians, they just leave it by the fire for a week or so. And when you unwind that cord, every one of them is perfectly straight. He said there's something about the influence of those others where one might have a little, you know, a little bend right here. The others are straight. But then when that one is kind of crooked, you know, that other one is straight. And generally the average, the mean of all of those that are bound together are perfectly straight. Now again, individually, they're all everywhere. But when they are bound together, the influence, the fellowship of all of those others, they begin to put pressure in the right places and they straighten each other out. Oh, I know that's something physical, but there's a spiritual principle there as well. If I can get with my brothers, say, well, I got some kinks that need to be worked out. You bind yourself with your brothers in Christ. Sisters, how about you bind yourself with these precious sisters? You bind yourself with your pastor's wife. Young men, you bind yourself with your pastor. Hallelujah. Oh, as iron sharpeneth iron. It's not good to be alone. It's not good to exist alone. It's not good to be alone. You need this. You need that companionship. You need that fellowship. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord here tonight. Mighty God. Mighty God. Oftentimes, heresies spring up in isolation. Pockets of isolation. We've been blessed, my family, to preach in a all over the world, quite literally. And we spent quite some time overseas, and one time 3 months and preaching in different revivals. And there's little pockets of apostolic Pentecost. And some of them will have these strange customs that are unlike any others. There's one church we preach for. They didn't say hallelujah. And I have no idea. I can't explain their reasoning. And they would say Halle Jesus. They believe that Yah, you know, was some Egyptian god. And so they didn't want to say hallelujah. And I mean, I tried to show them in Revelation, but these were things that with close close fellowship that have been worked out. But when you're all by yourself, it's easy for these kinks to begin to exacerbate and to grow. Oh, come on. It's the same as for you, young man. Your kinks ain't going to get better on your own. They're going to get worse. But if you bind with the man of God and you bind with the Word, with the Word of God, it's not good to be alone. It's not good to be alone. Hallelujah. I preached this morning on the value of one. There is value in the brotherhood. In the brotherhood. Get in church. Be faithful to church. Bind yourself with the family. This is what the Bible said about it. Ecclesiastes 4:11. Your pastor quoted it. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? There's that word, alone. It's not good to exist alone. If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. But just human companionship isn't enough. There are people today, again, they've got thousands of friends on social media, but they're alone. They're alone. There's some that are in a marriage, but they're alone emotionally. They're alone. There's some, I hate to say this, that attend apostolic churches, but they're lonely. They're alone. That's not right. That's not healthy. That's not good. It's not good to exist alone. Hallelujah. It's not good to exist alone. I know Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. But the second part of that verse says, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Hallelujah. We know who that's talking about tonight, don't we? It's not good to be alone. It's not good to be alone. Do you understand what the infilling of the Holy Ghost really means? Do you understand who Jesus really is? Who the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ really is? Jesus was declared by that angel. It was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. We read it in Isaiah as well. He is declared to be Emmanuel. Hallelujah. Emmanuel, God with us. Or with us is God. John 14:16, he said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. You say, well, I'm lonely. Here's your answer right here. You say, I feel alone. Here's your answer right here. That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. He was talking about himself in the flesh, but then he says, and he shall be in you. That's talking about himself in the Spirit, in the Holy Ghost. Will not leave you comfortless. Verse 18 said, I will come to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to be alone anymore. I don't want to be lonely anymore. I don't want to face the storms of life alone. I don't want to face these difficulties, this sickness, the weariness of life alone. Matthew 28. Sister Clark, would you come towards the music here today? He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Romans 8:9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Christ, capital S, is talking about the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Revelation 21 and 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. You don't have to be alone. You don't have to be alone. You don't have to be alone. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord, for a church family. Thank you, Lord, for a body. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You ought to get some friends in the church. I mean, best friends in the church. You say, well, they're all weird. So are you. Fit right in. Fit right in. You get a kid off by himself. I can talk about homeschoolers because my kids were homeschoolers. Right? Your kids were homeschoolers, weren't they? You ever see those kids that you just knew? You didn't have to ask anybody. You knew that kid's homeschooled. There's just something about him. He's been alone too long. Been alone. I understand why we homeschool. I'm just saying. You've been homeschooled. You ought to thank God your parents loved you enough. Put some things in you. But you know, there's some things that my wife and I, we were picking the other day, said, you know, some kids, they just, things get bullied out of them, you know. That's a negative influence. But there's something about a positive influence. I need my brothers. I need my brothers. I need my sisters. It's not good to be alone. It's not good. Don't you leave this house and go self-isolate. Don't you leave this church and go out and excommunicate yourself from the body. You get lonely. Ladies, now I'm Sister Cowan, I'm sorry if your phone starts, you know, buzzing throughout the night. But you get lonely, you need a friend, reach out to your pastor. This is a nice lady. This is a nice lady. Men, that's a nice guy. And he loves you. He cares for your soul. Don't you excommunicate yourself. That's where the devil wants you. You know that? That's where the devil wants you. Oftentimes people, they'll start drawing back. They're on the way out. They're looking for a way off. So they start isolating themselves. And then the devil starts telling them, look, everybody's cutting you off. No, they're not. You're cutting them off. But the devil's twisting it in your mind. It is not good to be alone. This is a simple message today, but I felt it from the Holy Ghost. So I know it's for somebody here tonight. It is not good to be alone. It is not good to be alone. You need the people that are in this building right here. You don't need to go find another church. You need to connect with these that are right here. You need to unite under this pastor that God has given you. Hallelujah. Young men, get together tonight. We're going to pray together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Young men, get together today. Church fam, I pray that there's not one individual that's off to the side, outcast. I know some, you feel awkward. It's hard to talk to people. It's easier to self-isolate, but it's not good. It's not good. It's not healthy. It's not good. You need the people in this building. You need them. It's not good to be alone. It's not good to be alone. Church family, could we gather around the front? I want to invite everybody. Not one person ought to be hanging back. Sound man, you too. Hallelujah. We'll be all right without sound for a sound man for a little bit. Come on, men. Come on, women. Hallelujah. Come on, sis. It's not good to be alone. It's not good to be alone. Hallelujah. It's not good to be alone. We need our church family. You are loved. I don't care what what the devil's trying to tell you. You are loved. You are a part. You do belong. You do belong to this family. You do belong here. It's not good for you to exist alone. It's not good for you to exist apart. Oh, you're my brother.
You're my sister.
Oh, so take me by the hand. Together. Together, I need friends. Brother Cowan, I need friends. I need fellowship in the ministry that strengthens me. I need fellowship in the ministry that keeps me accountable. Abomination unto God. What's one of those? Those that cause discord among brethren. God hates that. He hates that.
Because you know what discord causes? It causes one to cut themselves off, to self-isolate from the body. And it's not good to be alone. It's not good to be alone. Could we sing this one more time? Oh, bind us together, Lord. Bind us together. Bind us together with love. Sing it again. Oh, bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together. Bind us together with love. Father, we love you and we thank you for your goodness.